doctor, you report. But he became a cop anyways. And then he joined the FBI. So I guess his father wouldn't have wanted him to join the FBI either.
Crack has a patented flywheel and one-way clutch mechanism to create a smooth, natural exercise motion that burns calories fast, up to 1,100 an hour.
The struggle then was just to breathe, to live, to be out there. And the older generation opened the doors for us. So now I think we're progressing and setting our sights on the next level, the next
back. At first you have Oviedo, you have the old man, he comes and he brings the El Nino. But then you have La Vieja Damas, you have the grandmother, she will come back to back so that we will see another El Nino come right behind this one. Not 6 years later, not 18 months later, but right behind it. And that we have to be very prepared because it's going to cause a lot of trouble. We're going to see you won't be able to get trucks across the road. You won't be able to get supplies to cities. You're going to lose crop failures. They say that probably within the next year we'll see the price of produce and things in the supermarket go up maybe 60-75%, maybe 80%.
I'm seeing projections of that now.
And that you won't be able to get certain things. You're going to have to understand that you won't be able to get medicines. You're not going to be able to rely on the things you've been relying on. You're going to have to go out and learn about herbs. You're going to have to learn how to grow your own food and get your own medicines, because the El Nino's effects are going to be devastating, and they're going to be devastating on us financially.
All right, my friend, we must move because I want to get this in. I want to finish by the top of the hour here.
Okay.
O and Ange, about whom you've just heard, leave the burnt city and go searching for buried treasure. And in their search for buried treasure, they come across pirates. The head of the pirates is Pussy, king of the pirates. And what I'm going to tell you now is just a part of the story, the beginning of the story, of how she became a pirate. Childhood ended when Pussy learned that she was pregnant. She met her gynecologist for the first time on the day of the abortion. Since he was sporting a ponytail, she decided that he must have once been a hippie. She was high on the pills that they had fed her. The doctor and Pussy blabbed for an unknown amount of time about the nature of poetry, and then Pussy asked when her abortion was going to begin. The hippie answered that it would soon be over. She felt a twinge, which was almost painful. The abortion was over. Just before the end of this world, Pussy hadn't known a thing. There's no master narrative or realist perspective to provide a background of these social and historical facts. 2 weeks after the abortion, Pussy returned to the clinic for her routine checkup. A nurse practitioner who might have been the first one informed her that she was still pregnant. "I don't feel pregnant. Some women even bear a child after they've had a termination, but we're not sure you're still pregnant." Pussy asked when they might know positively what she was. She or her body was confused. Why don't you relax for 2 weeks? Forget that any of this happened. You'll probably get your period before the end of 2 weeks, so you'll know for sure that you're not pregnant. The time of possibilities is the name of these 2 weeks. During this time, the nurse practitioners and the doctors, there seemed to be two of each, speculated that Pussy might have a tubal pregnancy. 2 weeks passed. No period was anywhere to be found. So they decided to test her to find out if anyone or part of anyone was living inside her. They photographed the insides of her uterus. The photos showed uterine insides. There was nothing else. But the quality of the photos was poor. They, and in this world they always means medical people, then extracted blood from Pussy. The blood told them that Pussy was pregnant. This means, one of the nurse practitioners explained to the female, that you might be pregnant and you might not be. If you are pregnant, we don't know where. She hesitated. It's hiding. She consulted a calendar. If it's hiding inside a tube, that tube by now should be broken, so the tube must be about to break. What are you saying? Pussy was in that state in which anger resembles stupidity. Tonight, or at any other time after this, if you feel faint, go directly to the nearest hospital. Do not pass go. Instead of adding this, Pussy explained that she didn't know anything about the hospitals in this city, that she thought all of them were sites in which people were murdered. She didn't have any at medical insurance. Go to a hospital for children. They discussed that point. Later in the night, Pussy phoned one of the doctors. He was in his car or in one of his cars. The static from the car phone was louder than his voice. Is there any way that you or anyone in the world can learn whether or not I have a tubal? I have lots of money, Pussy explained, as if explaining is lying. We'll learn whether or not when one of your tubes bursts open. Later, Pussy would remember that it was at this very moment that she forgot to be moral, especially to be moral about abortion. For the next few days, she kept phoning the doctors. Finally, it happened. We've decided how we're going to know whether or not you have an ectopic pregnancy. We'll give you a second abortion. If that abortion works, you won't have an ectopic pregnancy. The logic made as much sense as anything else in the world to Pussy. Pussy ate their painkillers. She had what seemed to her to be the same abortion she had had the first time. Again, she asked whether she was still pregnant. The doctor who did the suction replied that this time something had come out, but he didn't know what it was. In order to find out what it was, they were going to extract more blood from Pussy. In a few days, the new blood would be able to talk to them. The blood announced to everyone that Pussy was no longer pregnant.
Thank you. I feel, said he. I'll squeal, said she. Just once, said he. It's fun, said she. May I touch, said he. How much, said she. A lot, said he. Why not, said she. Let's go, said he. Not too far, said she. What's too far, said he. Where you are, said she. May I stay, said he. Which way, said she. Like this, said he. If you kiss, said she. May I move, said he. Is it love, said she.
Studying the phenomena itself, you know, just having this photon sitting in a bottle somewhere.
If you're willing, said he, but you're killing, said she. But it's life, said he, but your wife, said she.
Could you learn more from it just by constantly doing this experiment over by a lot of people?
Indeed, you could. I mean, now that you mention it, you were asking, could you, before, you know, what would it look like?
Right.
In some sense, it's kind of hard to look at a pulse of light as it's zooming by at the speed of light.
Now, said he. How, said she. Tip-top, said he. Don't stop, said she. Oh, no, said he.
Part of the whole thing, like intentionally defying his father?
I think after the abuse he had received, much of Robert Hampton's life was about getting back at his dad. He wanted to go into law enforcement, even though his dad had abused him. He respected the work his father did as a Chicago cop. But Terry, when he went into the Chicago Police Department, he joined a special unit called C5, which investigated corrupt cops. He then had the opportunity to join the FBI. And I think his dad actually felt better about that than he did about him serving on the Chicago police force, because the FBI is recognized as the elite law enforcement organization in the United States.
Go slow, said she. Come, said he. Said she. You're divine, said he. You are mine, said she. You are mine, said she.
The FBI is recognized as the elite law enforcement organization in the United States.
Listen to John Coltrane's The Love Supreme. that brings together the spirituality of genuine doubting, phrase from Josiah Royce, and the spirituality of genuine giving and serving, is that Socratic questioning and that profound love, compassion, hesed, loving kindness you get out of the rich Judaic tradition and the Christian tradition that's brought together in Coltrane. And he takes it to such a high level in terms of his musical genius. And with Coltrane and with Chekhov, you simply do not have a poet in prose of such profound compassion, wrestling with death, disappointment, wrestling with the steady ache of misery, the constant heartbreak of daily life, but trying to convince us to keep on. Ours is in the trying, the rest is not our business, T.S. Eliot said. That's Chekhov. In his blues, it's Billy.
The old days when the speed of light was, you know,
right.
300 million meters per second. But now you can, if you can just trap it in these atoms, of course, you've written the state of this pulse on the atoms, and you could just look at the atoms and find out what it looks like.
Uh-huh.
So I think that the possibilities for looking at light more closely once it's standing still, I think that there are good possibilities there.
Get to it is by asking the question you just asked. That, in fact, what you're really handed are three statements which you grow into in time. So you take them at whatever level they mean something to you, at whatever level they mean something to you, and you work with them. And then as you work with them, a new level dawns, and a new level dawns. It's just a way of starting to think about your daily life. So that when you meet people, you see. It's like I'm sitting on a Greyhound bus and reading, and a guy sits down next to me, and he's taking more of the seat, and he's overweight, and he's kind of sweaty, and I start to pull back a little bit, and then he says, you going to Santa Fe? And I'm about to give one of these short answers, yep, and then go back to my book as if, sort of, don't bother me, and I hear my guru saying, love everyone, serve everyone, remember God. And the remember God does it to me. I think, well, this is God who's come to me as a teaching. Serve everyone, remember God. And the remember God does it to me. I think, well, this is God who's.
According to quantum mechanics, you cannot know where it is and how it's moving at the same time. You've trapped it to zero.
Right.
come to me as a teaching? I mean, am I caught in my attachment to what? Turn off this being. And so at that point I put down the book and I say, yeah, I am going to San Fran. Where are you going? And I realize that my work at that moment is to find in every human being that which is the God in her or him.
Who?
Keeping on. Been down so long, down don't worry me no more. That's why I keep keeping on. You know, Frost in that wonderful poem, Not All There, when he says, late at night, and still I'm losing, but still I'm steady and unaccusing, pushing no matter what. That's profoundly Chekhovian, with a level of compassion and love that you just don't find in too many other artists. You'd have to go to Thomas Hardy or Toni Morrison to get that fusion of sweetness of mind and toughness of temper in one figure.
When did you find Chekhov?
Oh, let me see. I first read Chekhov when I was 17. It blew my mind.
Not many 17-year-olds are into Chekhov.
17.
Who introduced you? Do you know?
I just ran into him at a bookstore. I read The Student, which was his favorite story of 1894. Went on to read In the Ravine, and of course the four plays that are of international have international stature, and rightly so. But I mean, I think Chekhov is the greatest since Shakespeare in the European tradition to have, as my good colleague and friend Helen Ventler said, a balanced sense of life. So you can look at the darkness and keep going. There's a wonderful line, actually, in Volume 5 of John Ruskin's Modern Painters, where he says, all great art comes first from gazing without shrinking at the darkness and still emerging. And out of that gazing comes the three great spiritual things in life: care, memory, melody.
Next town.
Do you want to work where in the next town?
Let Kalal work for next town.
No, do this with me.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. What's the name of your company? Next town. Next town technologies.
I work for government.
What do you do?
Oh, we're an internet portal. We facilitate interactions between local government and their constituents. We help government work.
That's you don't have $11.
You get what I'm telling you? Now, he can sign a piece of paper saying I'm nuts. But it's only a piece of paper. And you can't make me nuts that way, no matter how many times you sign it. No matter how many times you say it, you can't make me nuts.
Go
somebody say, what happened? What happened?
A moment that will change everyone's life in this country, certainly here in New York City.
And you just got to say, something hit the building, and then something hit both buildings.
It's like a commercial plane, not a small plane. And I kept thinking, this is too low, it's too low, it's too low. And then it went right in.
Me and my coworkers were sitting at our desks. All of a sudden, the building just swayed.
I know there are 50,000 people who work in the World Trade Center. I know that every ambulance and every fire company in the city and has been called in and dispatched there.
We carried a bunch of people that we found laying in the debris. Those complete darkness. We stumbled over some people. We picked them up and carried them across the street.
My name is Joe Macaluso. I just want my mother and my family to know I'm alive. I was on the 34th floor when the planes hit. We didn't know what happened.
So that is becomes part of my work, and then I have to deal with serve. Somebody asks me to do something, and they're asking me out of a very kind of worldly desire on their part, and I say, well, am I supposed to fulfill that? Is that what serve means? Does it mean do anything anybody wants me to do?
You now taken away one of those places, one of the variables, and know exactly where it is?
And I thought that was the end of the case. A few weeks after, though, her 17-year-old sister called me and said, you know, you were really helpful to my sister, and I wonder if you'd work with me.
The ceremonies were our Thanksgivings, every one of them. So we have these extraordinary rounds of Thanksgiving every year. So all the same songs again at certain time, all the same dances at certain time. How very familiar, again, you know, if you go down and watch the Pueblos, you know, as they do their deer dance, as they do their bean dance, and watch the Hopis as they do their snake dance. These are old, ancient ceremonies. Everybody knows them. And everybody participates in them, and you continue because they are what you were instructed to do, which is to give thanks.
For what?
For what is given to you here. Pilgrims got a hold of it, and they called it Thanksgiving. But there's only one, that's only the harvest part of it. They don't go all the way around the whole clock, you know. Children are not sat down and taught about what's good and what's wrong. What they see is they see their grandfathers, or they see their fathers, or their mothers, their grandmothers going to ceremonies. And they say, well, that must be the right thing to do. The old people do it. Everybody does it. That's good. So they do it. And so they learn in the process. The Thanksgiving, what is it for? Well, this one is for the maple. The chief of the trees. We're giving a Thanksgiving for the maple. Good. Must respect the tree. Must respect all the trees. So respect is learned through ceremony. There's a process. It's an old one. And so Thanksgiving comes as a natural way. It's a being. It's part of life. It's not something that you do occasionally. It's something you do all the time. And that's how the process has been passed down.
As the elite law enforcement organization in the United States.
Only a piece of paper. And you can't make me nuts that way, no matter how many times you sign it. No matter how many times you say it, you can't make me nuts.
Never been in my whole life.
Really? You still remaining men together?
No, I got something so much better now.
Really? What is it?
Well, the first rule is I'm not supposed to talk about it.
Tuvimos un congreso en Mesa, Arizona. Un congreso de indígenas en Mesa, Arizona.
We had
Indigenous Congress.
An Indigenous Congress
in Mesa, Arizona.
In Mesa, Arizona.
Y ahí recibió una invitación.
And there we received an invitation.
Para asistir a la danza del sol.
To participate in the sun dance.
De los Lakotas.
Of the Dakotas.
Is it to serve the God in each human being? And sometimes I can say no to somebody and I understand that I'm serving them. And I say, well, am I supposed to fulfill that? Is that what serve means? Does it mean do anything anybody wants me to do? Or is it to serve the God in each human being? And sometimes I can say no to somebody and I understand that I'm serving them. And I have to wrestle with that all the time. What is service? What's the purest service? Who are you serving?
Elite law enforcement organization in the United States. But once he was in the FBI, and he didn't feel he was promoted properly, he began to view the FBI just like his dad. And began to a number of things that completely and totally betrayed the trust that had been placed in him at the highest levels of the FBI.
WZBC. Currently at the highest level of WZBC broadcast. Only way to transmit. Adam Newton, WZBC. Highest level broadcast clearance.
And turn to spying.
New metaphysics. Just a one-word, multi-syllabic pontifical slather, if you would. With a few dashes of habanero sauce on there, please. Thank you. Extra napkins, of course. Maybe some cola. Well, it's 2002 since The world's greatest performance art took place out there in the desert. By just a trio of media mogul geniuses. They cashed in on the hot button item of the day. Being God, denying being God, and being highly angry about it. We did our best in September. It was a pretty damn good show. The security forces allowed to happen. A little sideways elbow punch for exclamation. Highest probability. Of course, I wouldn't know myself. I've had media fasting, like in media Auschwitz, if you will. It's Matrix time on planet Earth. Post-World War atomic bomb. A death wish that slipped out back in 45. Sort of a denouement of the Lebenstraum, German life-death wish in the desert. Of course, in all of these shakeouts where the Trump card is played, you know what happens after that. Can't stem the tide. Starting right about now, the blowback starts to form in earnest. Mid to slightly past midwinter, when the days do actually begin to get longer. As we pass through the tumult of transflux and begin to form, and since everything is resonance today, it's residence you don't have to pay rent for, if you will. Blowback tumbling into form now. It will be fashionable again to tell the truth. Radical politics et al. Uber Alles, like never before. So get ready to speak. .3 in the FM. Good old fashioned Americanischer Radio. Been subjugated so long, forgot what it was supposed to be. WZBC.org online. A blazing 56 kilowatts WHAT per second. squeezing through the butt crack of the corporate gorilla, slithering through like fart gas in the hot tub. A matrix where the corporation, the grand technology machine of our time, would rise up with a mind of its own, enforced by law, felony law, white-collar lockup law, protecting those dividends, taxed cheaper than income, and preferred over mom and pop stock issues, as is the way of the Matrix. The grand ego dream of our time. Not to be stopped. In this game set. So don't even bother. Just try to emulate the methane and rise to glory. Rise to triumphal exaltation. And I'll see you there.
Yeah, you report that he felt underappreciated at the FBI. He resented the Bureau. He didn't like the way the bureaucracy was handled. What were his criticisms besides the ego ones, besides the ones like, you don't appreciate me enough?
He worshipped the ground that J. Edgar Hoover had walked on. He wished that the FBI still was in the autocratic Hoover era, where the FBI men wore dark suits and white shirts. Hansen developed the nickname the Mortician, and the Dr. Death, because he dressed like the FBI agents did many years ago. And he felt really that it had been all downhill since Hoover left. And he didn't feel the other agents shared his passion and shared his commitment. He tried to he planned a whole secret raid on the Russians when he was working in New York. And most of the other guys at the Bureau didn't show up because they didn't want to work on Sunday. So, you know, he didn't really have the interpersonal skills to be promoted effectively in management. That was one problem. But he didn't develop the friendships either. So when the boys would go out drinking after work, they wouldn't ask Bob Hansen to join them. And increasingly, within the fraternity built on fidelity, bravery, and integrity, Hansen felt like an outsider.
Yeah, you quote one agent as saying about Hansen, he was creepy and no one wanted to talk in front of him.
He had the ability to hide in plain sight, and some people became reluctant to talk about him, but he made it his business to be inside any number of meetings and had the kind of personality and demeanor that enabled him to sit in a room quietly, silently, and go unnoticed.
Thank you. 5 million.
Exactly the problem. Our ghettos are full.
All those ghettos, yes, with Polish names. Fully occupied, but hold for now, please, if you would. At that time, last July, confronting this new situation, Reich Marshal Goering prepared a directive. You have a copy in your folders. The operative words, if you will permit me to read, I hereby charge you with making all necessary preparations in regard to organizational and financial matters for bringing about a complete solution of the Jewish question in the German sphere of influence in Europe. Now, for that, I read the cleansing of the entire continent of Europe.
You see, the word cleansing.
An accurate word, I think. If I may go on, in the second paragraph, wherever other governmental agencies are involved, these are to cooperate with you, I hope, so on, as necessary for the accomplishment of the desired solution of the Jewish question. So, this is our mandate, all of us.
May I say, in fairness, the Jewish question falls within the responsibilities of my department, the Reich Chancellery, and no directive has been issued to mine.
Give me a moment or two, Dr. Kritzinger. The document is in your folder?
Yes, it is in your folder.
Sure it is.
Finally, what has happened since that directive was written? Succinctly now. We are standing still in Russia. The Americans have now joined the war. Both of these events, a further drain on our military, our economy, our manpower, our food supply. We cannot store these Jews. Emigration is over. And the inevitable solution is what we, together at this table, will discuss this afternoon. We will go on. Now, you will find a document listing the remaining Jewish population by country in Europe and whatever the USSR or Russia calls itself for the time it has left. As I mentioned, emigration policy will stop.
Apologize. A call for General Heydrich.
See who it is and end the calls. We will take but a moment. Please sit, Dr. Kritzinger. Make us all comfortable.
Where is this going?
Yes, this is Lieutenant Colonel Eichmann. Yes, I understand, Major, but the General has requested to be free of calls at this time. If you wish to explain the matter to me, yes? Yes, I'm sure if you call his office, he... Yes. Yes. Heil Hitler. This meeting is not taking place. You are to take no phone calls for anyone at this meeting. Anyone. Unless the Fuhrer calls. And he won't. Understood?
Sir. So here is Field Marshal Reichenau strapped to a chair and put convulsing on the plane. Where he died. Now, he wanted to retreat as deeply as Rundstedt did, but Rundstedt got his medal and right, and now they're after.
Major Schoenstein is reluctant to give me any message.
He does not appreciate you as I do. Emigration. The policy that will take the place of emigration, and we have collected enough practical experience to do it well, is evacuation.
Which differs from emigration in what way? Evacuation to where?
Let us postpone that question for a while.
To hell, one hopes.
Many already have.
Do they even have a hell?
They do now. We provide it.
We have received assurances that these Jews are held in livable conditions. You are postponing. That is your prerogative. Will I have an opportunity to be heard on this?
On my word of honor.
You can't serve man and God at the same moment. And so you're listening to how you can serve the God in every human being, not necessarily the worldly illusion that each person is caught in. But that's a very subtle thing, and that's why these three instructions are so beautiful, because they keep you working all the time to understand what they mean. And so you're asking the question, is the work on them? Can you hear all that?
Oh, yes, I hear.
Yeah, I'm hearing it too, as if for the first time. It's beautiful. It's fun. I'm glad you asked that. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Sense of history, the radical fragility, contingency of life. How then do we make it from womb to womb? We, of course, are wrestling with the traditional quarrel between the poets and philosophers that Plato talks about in Book 10 of 607b5. The beginning, in so many ways, of what I've been wrestling with. You see, the art of living, the quest for wisdom on the one hand, and at the same time, trying to find that voice that expresses the deep passions of the soul that go far beyond logic, embracing it, but going far beyond it.
Well, I gained a little bit of weight in the last few months. I said, oh, really? How much weight have you gained? And she said, 15 pounds. And I thought, well, I've heard that before. That was interesting. But I didn't put it together. I didn't yet get that this was commentary on a family process. And so, frankly, from a narcissistic point of view, I thought, well, here's a chance to be successful with two members of the same family. And so I was thinking it from that point of view. So she comes in. I work with her in very much the same way I did with the first daughter, with a few minor differences. And she also lost the weight in a fairly short period of time. Now, what was also happening, I should say, for these two sisters is, as they lost the weight, they re-entered their social world and were spending less time at home. Well, the capper came just a few weeks after that, when the mother in this family called me and said, you know, you were so successful with my two daughters. I wonder if you'd be willing to work with my 15-year-old. I said, what's the problem? She said, well, she's gained some weight. I said, well, tell me about that. And she said, well, the long and the short of that was that she had gained 15 pounds during the time that her two sisters had lost the weight. And I remember in that moment, something of an epiphany for me, because I had this image in my mind of these daughters standing as though in a bucket brigade, passing this 15 pounds down the line. And I didn't quite know what that meant, but I knew it was important. And I knew that it spoke to the family process. So I basically at that point brought the family in. And what I discovered was, fortunately, I think, a fairly simple matter, although an important one. The family, the parents had married very early in life and had started their family very early on. Now, about 20 years into their marriage, they were facing the prospect of becoming a couple again, having not really been a couple since they were very young. And this can be a time of anxiety for a family. And there's all kinds of currents that call on children in a family like this to babysit their parents. So what was happening was the 19-year-old had delayed her going away to college because she perceived that her parents might have difficulty adjusting to becoming a couple again. And so she spent an awful lot of her social time with her parents. Well, when she lost the weight, her self-confidence increased, she went back into a social life.
This is horrible what happened today. See, I don't like the... I have... Okay. Like a lot of you, I hate a lot. You know? But I hate with style and creativity.
Yeah!
I don't hate you. You know, I hate weakness. I hate all the shit weakness brings, like, you know, racism, rape, all the shit that keeps life from being 100% fun. But I tell you, every once in a while you get into the petty hate trips where you can, like, focus your hatred upon, like, a certain person or persons, like cops and stuff. So, I mean, that's pretty universal, but, okay, see, I'm in Dublin tonight. I've never been there before, and I know my history. I know what comes from Dublin. And so today I have to go to this horrible place. Oh, God, it's fucking unendurable, man. I just spent an hour at Windmill Studios. This is a nice place, Dublin, right? You all are cool. I don't even know you. I like you already. But, man, you got one fucked up thing about your all's place, man. Fucking you too comes from here. And there's billions of people who, like, love that band. I'm not one of them. They can kiss my ass. So anyway, I've hated them ever since Trump. I mean, they could never fool me. You know, in America, the footage we always had to see over and over again on any television channel was that shit climbing up and down the PA at Red Rocks and waving, that guy with a bubble butt waving a white flag. The white flag says, like, aim your crosshair sights over here, you know? Kill me, the one with the flag. Fuck that guy. Like that Edge doing that fucking fake-ass pilgrim gig, you know, like, I'm so pious and low-key with my millions, I'll just play this one Eno-esque chord. They've been milking the same bass line and the same guitar trick. Five albums and the world kisses their ass, and it is the biggest pile of shite I have ever heard in my life. So today I have to go to, like, the studio that Bono built. So I'm waiting around from these people to interview me, right? So I'm staggering around the parking lot, and you all have seen it. It's nothing but YouTube graffiti.
Caring for the parents who shifted to the next sister, and so on to the third sister.
So these pounds really represented something about the unconscious life of this family, about how scary it was to leave home, or how scary it was for the parents to have their children begin to leave home and leave them with each other.
Exactly, both. And the interesting point about how families operate is that when I worked, at this point I decided to simply work with the parents and not the children. I worked with the parents, I basically helped them through that transition, and as if by magic, The 15-year-old daughter's weight fell off of her without any hypnotic intervention.
I went there.
Me gustó.
I liked it.
Cumplí la danza 4 años.
I finished the dance.
Four years. Y les dije a los líderes Lakotas.
And I told the Lakota leaders.
Que me había gustado mucho su ceremonia.
That I enjoyed their ceremony.
Ellos saben que yo he estado viajando.
They knew that I was traveling.
Y contactando a todos los pueblos indígenas.
And contacting all the indigenous peoples.
Para reunir otra vez.
To unite again.
Todas las tradiciones.
All the traditions.
Y me parecía que su danza solo era lo más cercano a lo perfecto.
And it seems that the sun dance was the most perfect. The most perfect way to come together.
Y que yo quería hacerlo en México.
And then I wanted to do one in Mexico.
Their grandeur is wrapped in mystery. They are the ancient weavers who weave truth into knowing. They are the exceptional alchemists extraordinaire. The ancient ones, their grandeur is wrapped in mystery.
When the planes hit, we didn't know what happened.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
My heart to feel grace, my fears release. How precious is the grace.
That's good.
Grace. Bank of America, you know, fuck some shit up. But if you're going to get a can of spray paint, you're not going to inhale it and get high on it. Why the fuck would you want to travel from
all the way from Vancouver, Canada, with a can of spray paint so you can put I Heart U2 on a wall and leave.
My life is complete now.
On Tuesday and Thursday mornings, you have to be there to assist in making any adjustments or minor repairs, if, like batteries, sort of battery back RAM, printers get dirty and hang up and things like that, just to keep the certification process going so that those instruments won't have to come out of service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then if an instrument does need a lot of work, then you would just come out of service and you take it back to the shop, repair it, and bring it back the next time you went for certification.
Mm-hmm.
The other states just send in their instruments and they get sent back.
Mm-hmm. So I'd be trained there. Do you have training?
Training would be done in Owensboro. You would have to probably come here for 2 or 3 weeks initially, then go back to the service center for a while, and then maybe a month later come back for another 2 to 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
One class would cover the infrared instruments, and then the other one would cover the handheld instruments.
Mm-hmm. And is that paid training? Now, what's your starting rate?
Really depends on person and a lot of things. Where are you now on salary?
I'm at about $13. My last job paid $13 an hour. So, around there.
That's
yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have my resume?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. RETS, yeah. Radio Electronic Technician School, I think. Yeah, I got a certificate. Yep. It was a very basic course in all electronics. They didn't teach troubleshooting. So... And then I went on to work at Cymatrix and Sony and the Brigham Hospital. So.
Your experience has been about 3 years.
Yeah, 2 years maybe. Yeah.
How do you feel about being the only person in the service?
I'd probably feel all right once I got the hang of it. Yep. Now, there's no regional manager or anything like that?
No.
Now, in the last 10 or 20 years, this has happened. There has been a criminalization of youth in the form of, for example, a big case would be laws like California's Prop 20, which I can't remember all the provisions of it, but basically it's one of those laws that has young offenders punished along with and as adults.
And at this time, wrapped in the tragic mystery of the current events of your world, and wrapped in the wondrous mystery of yourself,
there wasn't a head protection system, the forces on the head of the dummy were sufficient to have produced a fatality in a human.
The last 200 or 300 years in the West are quite unique historically and culturally, and that they're not like any other period in human history that we know of in any other culture, and they seem to be almost an aberration of some kind. Now, that doesn't mean that isn't a value judgment about them, but I think that the post-science condition will bear far more similarities with the pre-science one than the science position in the middle, because this is what I guess gives rise to all of the technological primitivism that one sees now.
Silently and go unnoticed. People had absolutely no idea.
It's like a mecca for shitheads.
Man who was the top Soviet analyst for the FBI and who was home for dinner at 5:30 every night with his wife and children.
That's a good question, Ira. Now, let me think about that for a second. I think that what's... in the case of a photon or light, you really... There's this, as you point out, there's this uncertainty relation that
right.
says you can't know kind of exactly how fast it's wiggling up and down and when it shows up.
David Kaloff is a therapist and author with Robin Simons of The Couple Who Became Each Other.
Yes, it can also be, in its wisdom, it can also be incredibly stupid, and I'll explain what I mean by that. But yes, it's very different than the Freudian notion of the unconscious, which sort of holds it as this amoral, antisocial, you know, has to be herded and controlled kind of force. Our notion of the unconscious is more as this creative resource. Sometimes the creativity, though, can be somewhat silly. An example of that, I remember once a woman consulted me who had horrible pain in her shoulders and these knots of muscles in her shoulders that just wouldn't go away.
The second rule is, I'm not supposed to talk about it.
This night, you come. You come in search of that grandeur. You come. You come in pursuit of that wondrous grandeur.
Talk deep one night when I began to experience what is called samapati, which in Sanskrit means transcendental visits. I got a little drowsy in the mind, but was somehow physically wide awake, sitting erect under my tree when suddenly I saw flowers, pink worlds of walls of them, salmon pink, in the shh of silent woods. Obtaining nirvana is like locating silence. And I saw an ancient vision of Dipankara Buddha, who was the Buddha who never said anything, Dimpankara as the vast snowy pyramid Buddha with bushy wild black eyebrows like John L. Lewis and a terrible stare, all in an old location, an ancient snowy field like Alban. A new field, had yelled the Negro preacher woman, the whole vision making my hair rise. I remember the strange, magic, final cry that it evoked in me, whatever it means, Kolya Kolor! It, the vision, was devoid of any sensation of I being myself. It was pure egolessness, just simply wild, ethereal activities, devoid of any wrong predicates, devoid of effort, devoid of mistake. Everything's all right, I thought. Form is emptiness, and emptiness is form, and we're here forever in one form or another, which is empty.
How Hitler got started, we take you to Bremerhaven, 1927, the largest theatrical office in Germany. MCA, Mein Kampf arises. We listen to the two German agents, and the agents are in peril. The Kaiser, it seems, sort of flipped. Heinrich, what it is. You realize what's happening? Do I realize? I realize one thing, that we have 48 hours to find the dictator. It's a freaky business, isn't it? Yeah. I don't know. You know what the hell it is? You know, you figure last week, if you finally find a dictator, everybody. But now, a dictator, everybody's working. We're working, you know, we got 3 days, you know, in Palo Alto, we got here, you know. We'd like to help you out and see, you know. I don't know about that. Wait, the Kaiser, he'll get his, you know. It's really your fault, you know, that we didn't get him on paper. We had a contract with him, and you said, oh, a handshake, he's good. Yeah, he's good with a handshake. That's what he give us. Yeah, that's a bum, it's no good. Listen, he still did us plenty of favors. What did you do? I just took a chance, just for the hell of it, and I called up Central Casting. Maybe, who can know? Maybe there is some dictator types. We'll see. All right, switch on the intercom.
The big brother of NAFTA, of course, is the GATT Treaty, General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs, which is what gave us the WTO. And it's the big, big version where any country anywhere in the world, even China or something else, can complain if they don't like a Canadian law. They can go to the WTO and get the law removed because it isn't as you know, not as, it's not as loose as China's lack of environmental laws or slave labor laws or something like that. And people of Venezuela and Brazil went to the WTO to get rid of the Clean Air Act in the United States because we wouldn't let them sell the kind of dirty gasoline they have down there. The United States, if you've ever been to Rio de Janeiro or Sao Paulo, Maracaibo, Caracas, ever tried to breathe there? The air is just horrible. I mean, really, really horrible. They figured, well, free trade means it can poison your air, too.
This diet is not one which works overnight. In fact, it requires persistency and consistency over a period of weeks and months.
Speaking, I'm sorry. Of course, we are deeply shocked and deeply regretful about the results of last night's broadcast. The date of the broadcast was 1939, and it seemed came rather as a great surprise to us that a story fine H.G. Wells' classic fantasy, the original for so many succeeding comic strips and adventure stories. And
Miss Pallone, send in the dictator type, sweetie. Yeah, later we'll meet at the Schwab's or Flico if you're crazy.
They're coming in now, the fellows there. They're all actors here, maybe. Yeah, sit down wherever you want, fellows here. Relax. My name is Ben Melzer. And I'm the agent here. We're trying to find the dictator today. We have no script, a couple of pages, you know. We don't know where the hell we're going with the project ourselves. So we want to see just today how you guys move. That's all. You know, just add a little bit and we do the bit. All right?
About a mythical invasion by monsters from the planet Mars should have had so profound an effect upon radio listeners.
Okay, we call up the first fellow, Ben Eisler. Benny, come over here. That's it, just ad lib. We want to see how you move today, or maybe we'll put a few bucks behind you, you can do. All right? Just, Benny, you look familiar. Did I do your Schlitz Playhouse with you once that day? No? Gene Herschel, the thing for Ziv? No? All right. Okay, just sort of do the bit once.
Darf das Hunger spielen, Eis, Gafrim, Alja!
That method crap, get out of here with that Brando jazz. You kidding with that?
We want to be able to read and write CDs and read and write DVDs. We want to make our own DVDs with movies and pictures on them.
And the second rule is,
had this other life where he was selling information to the Russians, where he was posting information and stories that he wrote about his wife, sexual fantasies really, on the internet.
And this is really going to explode. And as of today, the discs just cost $5 a piece.
It's drug war harassment of high school kids, having to be drug tested to participate in extracurricular activities.
You know, either sound or picture, just to be able to be in there and sit there and not be in the way and be able to get the scene.
And the wondrous mystery
surrounding it, you come in pursuit of truths that can become knowing. Not only true, but beautiful and right knowing.
Tells you uncertainty about the frequency, how fast it's wiggling, and when it shows up, must be above a certain limit. I think that what's happening here is that if you look at the wiggles that have been fossilized in this gas, that you would find a similar uncertainty relationship about space, you know, how far this, yeah, this packet extends, and what the waves in the
right,
fossilized gas look like.
Really, really horrible. They figured, well, free trade means we can poison your air, too.
It would be fascinating to get together. And you see, I'm primarily a teacher. You see, I'm primarily a teacher. I'm addicted to the life of the mind, and the love of ideas is in many ways erotic for me. I, it's a deep pleasure on the one hand, and I'd go sane if I didn't read deep texts. And I said, how do I extend my teaching, my Socratic unsettling and questioning to a younger generation, given the dominant forms of transcendence for them?
Lower the pack, the 5-pack price to $24.99. You can burn an hour or 90 minutes worth of video and have 10,000 photographs on a DVD.
This is the billion-dollar startup. Can't pay for dinner.
Let's call it govworks.com for now. We're not entirely sure what it's going to be. But you go to govworks.com to do basically anything you do at local government. It's a pretty tremendous market space. It's a vertical market of $586 billion. When you look at parking tickets in New York alone, it's about a $500 million market.
So there's a lot of money sloshing around in this marketplace. To get a few crumbs up, it means a lot.
And you come in pursuit of a magical alchemy that can change your world. This night you come to stand tall. You come to stand empowered with the ancient ones.
That's for you. You get that?
You, Mr. McMillan, you may proceed.
Dr. Morrison, do you still believe she lacks the capacity to stand trial?
Yes, I do.
Welcome. And although we say it softly, the pleasure and the joy are no less sublime. Though we say it quietly, the pleasure and joy of being with you, of working and exploring with you, of loving with you, and yes, of loving you, are no less real. We say again, welcome. At this time in your world, with so much fear, so much uncertainty, with so much terror in the air, and in that field of terror left in the wake of September 11th and in the wake of subsequent disturbances, tumult and turmoil. At this time, with so much fear, so much uncertainty, so much terror, at this time when humankind
fagging next. Das will nicht spielen Eiskaffee, ihr Frucht, now get out of here. Dann buggers number, all of you gentlemen, get out of here. That's right, get out, out, all of you. They will call your agents.
You think you...
This is your fault. Don't ever look at me again. I'm gonna go out on my personal management. Forget Bobby Breen or something. I don't need you.
Don't get bugged with me. It's not my, it's not your fault. That we don't have a dictator, that we didn't have the Kaiser on paper, I'm finished with you.
I can tell you that the whole day, the Third Reich is depending on me and I can't do anything.
Hey, but don't bother me. Hey, what is it?
Don't look now, but dig the guy on your right that's painting the wall. Yeah. Don't look right away, you'll think you're putting him on. The schlub with the white uniform and the cap on there. Yeah, there is him right there. I find a hole for the schlosses. Sonny, put down that painting. You do that later. Come here, that's right.
Look at his face, is this an album cover? Oh, this is a weirdo. What's your name, my friend? Adolf Schickelgruber. You're putting us on. What are you guys talking about? Let me alone. I'm going to go back to my thing. Just stand there. Is that your name, Adolf Schickelgruber? It's a hoof and mouth disease, no? Hey, come on, you guys. Don't fool around me, yeah? Don't make a jerk out of me. I know you show people fooling around, make us fool out of somebody. They're not going to fool around. I like Adolf. That's sort of hip. It's offbeat. I never heard this name. Adolf. That's nice. Give me a last name. I like that. Sort of offbeat. Like Adolf what? Manju. You shut up.
1 3 0 9 3 1 3 0 9 3 1 3 0 9 3 1 3 0 9 3 1 3 0 9 3 1 3 0 9 3 1 3 0 9 3 1 3 0 9 3 1 3 0 9 3 1 3 0 9 3 1 � I mean, ways of distancing themselves from their pain and providing some space where they can feel as if they are most human. And music, in many ways, is the dominant form of transcendence for the younger generation. How do I, in many ways, engage in a kind of danceable education? Almost Nietzschean, but Nietzsche says thinking ought to be like a dance. And that's precisely what we attempted to do. And we could make fools of ourselves, we could triumph. But the important thing is, if we touch one soul, if we can elevate one person to get them to think for themselves, to have the courage to think and love and fight for justice, it's worth it. And we had a great time in the process. Oh, we had a good time in the studio. We went back to Glen Elder, my black neighborhood, with all the partners and the sisters, and 16-hour sessions. And there was so much love and respect and affirmation that it's beyond words. Beyond words. And that's what people don't realize about hip-hop culture and rap music. You see, that there's a sense in which, I mentioned Plato before, you know, he wrote a seventh letter. We talked about how language is inadequate for the deep realities and the profound feelings that we have. And hip-hop culture and rap music is like any other genre in which you have some good, some mediocre, some bad. But they're appealing to very deep feelings that language itself cannot adequately express. And it's hard for people to view it in that way because it's associated with people who are often hated, degraded, denigrated, and so forth. And yet we know that from the streets of poor black communities have come geniuses like Louis Armstrong. You almost have to stand up when you say his name. You know, Sarah Vaughan, you see.
Jaffe came, and then Coughlin came, and suddenly, we had wine, a mad party began in the cottage. It started off with Coughlin and me, drunk now, walking arm in arm down the main drag of town carrying huge, almost impossibly huge flowers of some kind we found in the garden, and a new jug of wine, shouting haikus and hoos and satoris at everybody we saw in the street, and everybody was smiling at us. Walked 5 miles carrying huge flour, yelled Coughlin. And I liked him now. He was deceptively scholarly looking or fatty boom boom looking, but he was a real man. We went to visit some professor of the English department at University of California we knew, and Coughlin left his shoes on the lawn and danced right into the astonished professor's house. In fact, frightened him somewhat, though Coughlin was a fairly well-known poet by now. Then, barefooted with our huge flowers and jugs, we went back to the cottage. It was now about 10. Everything was fine with the Zen lunatics. The nut wagon was too far away to hear us. But there was a wisdom in it all, as you'll see if you take a walk some night on a suburban street and pass house after house on both sides of the street, each with the lamplight of the living room shining golden, and inside the little blue square of the television, each living family riveting its attention on probably one show, nobody talking, silence in the yards, dogs barking at you because you pass on human feet instead of on wheels. You'll see what I mean when it begins to appear like everybody in the world is soon going to be thinking the same way, and the Zen lunatics have long joined dust, laughter on their dust lips.
And so the Syrians, the giants who walk the earth, taught not only those most evolved among humans, but also among fairy, though not human, of a parallel development, what would be the fairy kings and queens of Lemuria, along with the dreamers, dreamer companions and select elders of the human world, Lemuria, and likewise in Atlantis. Out of that second experiment, with its conclusion so tragically, so dramatically, so destructively, the emergence of the third experiment, your modern world, the shortest experiment of them all. Ancient ones, shining ones, ancient ones, expressing themselves in the fairy kingdom, the fairy kings and queens, expressing themselves in the angelic kingdoms through the devas, expressing themselves in presence without form, where the elements are exalted at certain places down by the sea or high in the mountains, at certain places deep in the forest or lost in the wilderness of prairie or plain, savanna or desert, where the elements are exalted, often the presence of ancients, and thus in your mythologies often the elders would go down to the sea or high into the mountains where the gods lived, where they could feel the presence of the grandmothers and the grandfathers, or by whatever name they were given in their rendition of mythology, where they could sense the presence and receive the counsel and the gifts of the ancient ones. There are very few human ancient ones, mostly in the fairy kingdom, in the Davic world, at places where elements are exalted, where the earth seems to, quote, love herself incredibly, exceptionally well. And in a few, humans that are themselves often hermits or crones, whose identity is well protected and hidden. As we say, they are the light. They don't need one to find their way. And in your world, crystalline doorways, crystalline portals, crystals that by their destiny and by their journey are so called ancient ones by whatever additional descriptions are attached. Ancient ones first emerged from the Delphin people, the shimmer beings of Sirius, expanded through the root races and the 14 races of Sirius, Orion, the Pleiades, and then upon your earth, other places as well, but upon your earth. Out of the first, second, and into the third experiment, And although less visible, less obvious in your human world, in this time, nonetheless available. And so many of you have encountered the ancients. We know, as you've encountered them working with us, we also know many of you encountered them long before working with us. Sometimes in your childhood, sometimes in those adolescent years, sometimes in the grown and adult years, that one that seemed to show up, that seemed in a way almost surreal, unreal, too real, too good to be true, that somehow touched your life, if but for a moment, changed you forever, and then seemed to disappear. But yet, that memory, once awakened again or triggered again, is as if but a moment ago. You have learned to sit with the ancients, to seek their counsel, to seek their gifts, and in their presence to be renewed by their grace. And such sitting with, such working with the ancients has indeed worked well. And as we say now, not only is your world indicating by its expression that it is time for you, the magicians, in this dawning of your day, it is time to step forth and to be a voice heard above the din, to learn now to stand in power.
Biggest upset is over the kids who got killed at Kent State, unquote. So why don't your hearts cry out and shed a tear for the 40-plus thousand red-blooded Americans and brave, fearless, loyal men who have given their lives?
To go on about our daily lives, not be afraid to talk to people, socialize with people that live on our floor, and just, you know, get to know everyone and educate.
The best thing that the oldest generation has shown us is that it's one day at a time and it's step by step. And the most effective change is when a foundation is built from within.
I guess I do. I do want to respond. Does he make you nervous?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it makes me nervous. Yeah.
So these are the core technologies in the new iMac. They are all pro features. We didn't stop there. Every new iMac has an NVIDIA GeForce 2MX graphics chip in it with 32 megabytes of video memory, 24-bit at all resolutions. This is three times faster 3D graphics than the iMacs of yesterday.
You could do anything, being suspended if you're carrying a Tylenol in your backpack and so on. It has to do with anti-gang injunctions, which have become just crackdowns on kids of color hanging out with each other.
Let's talk about it. And the third rule is, Bob, I'm a member. Look at my face, Bob.
Oh, it's fucking great.
I've never seen you there.
I go Tuesdays and Thursdays.
I go Saturday.
Congratulations.
Yeah, hey, to both of us, right?
Have you heard about the guy that invented this thing?
Well, yeah, actually.
I hear all kinds of things.
Yeah?
Supposedly, he was born in a mental institution, and he sleeps only 1 hour a night. He's a great man.
Wow.
Do you know about Tyler Durden?
many kinds of medical treatments. And when we find in hypnosis, when we finally got to the source of it, she literally said, you know, my boss likes to lump work on me.
Hey, it's Tom.
Hey, baby. I want to pass on some good news. I can hardly contain myself. I got a lunch Kleiner Perkins at noon.
Fantastic.
And I just got off the phone with the guy there, and he said, you know, we really like your idea. We know everybody in the valley. We just want to talk about the idea. You know, we'll help you shape the idea as well. And if you get, if you know, if we're able to do this, we can move extremely fast. It's starting to pay off for us, man.
I want you to know that I have probably 5 or 6 people coming in for tech interviews tomorrow. So it's like an unbelievable, I've already canceled a couple of things for tomorrow. It's an unbelievable schedule.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Bye.
See you. Okay.
Wow, these guys are freaking out.
That's fucking awesome, man. I mean, it's just like now we're actually standing outside the office of Kleiner. Oh my God, like it's beautiful out here. So, anyway, it's really nice. So,
the last point I was going to make for you is that works has a very specific meaning in the software world, and it refers to a very lightweight, you know, low-end product.
The guy basically gave us very candid advice, does not like working with government, was, you know, felt like we have to be on the West Coast to run an internet business, was, you know, said we were passé because we went in with documents instead of a computer presentation, said that, you know, we were, you know, 2 to 3 years behind the times, that we, you know, didn't have anybody with startup experience. He like didn't like the Sapien
experience.
Relationship. Didn't like the IT implementation experience. I mean, he like was just there to tear us apart. And then I think it was tuna caught fish caught in those great big nets that go on mile after mile and kill everything in its path, which making all sorts of things that used to be common endangered species and stuff. Well, that had to go because it was Mexico went to the WTO, so now it still says dolphin safe tuna on the can, but they have the tuna from Gil, who went to the president of South Africa, Thabo Mbeki, and tried to bully him into not importing any more generic copies of really, really expensive anti-AIDS drugs because American drug companies were complaining. You know, in other words, so American drug companies that helped create me, Al Gore, can make their money. You have to let your people die or I'm going to the WTO. And, the United States has been playing some fun and games with the WTO too. Do you know what bovine growth hormone is? A product of the Monsanto Corporation. The lovely, lovely Monsanto Corporation. Anyway, it's basically meant to make the cows grow bigger and bigger and bigger, and their udders get bigger and bigger and bigger, so you get more milk quicker, but the stuff makes them so sick, you have to pump them with antibiotics with a needle stuck in them all the time. The antibiotics get passed into the milk and into the meat, so people eating it slowly get immune to antibiotics, or they catch some of the diseases the cow has in the first place. And Germany, England, France, many other places decided that that was a bad idea and banned American beef and milk that had bovine growth hormone in it.
And where he had a kind of James Bond lifestyle that provided him with an escape from the pain that he felt at the Bureau and the pain that he had felt since he was a child.
Adam Newton.
Get out your batons. Rodney King coming at you. WZBC. Congenial little R radio. Pass through walls without even whimpering. You can't run too fast. We'll get through your molecules. We'll touch you deep in the DNA RNA handoff. And you won't even be consciously aware of that. Unless you're paying attention to that. I don't want to be presumptuous now. I don't know what you think about. God knows what you're contemplating thinking about. New metaphysics version of regular ZBC everyday generics. WZBC.org online. Archives of new metaphysics programming. Jesuitically endorsed without their knowledge. Online. Finally, after being released from pending legal battles with the majors. NewMetaphysics.com. The window is open. More paperwork, legal aggression on its way. Get through that window, my friends. NewMetaphysics.com. Subliminal dirty pictures that you won't even notice. Now, isn't that the best way to get pornography? You can still think of yourself as a fine human being. And of course, studio475.com/newmetaphysics. Electromagnetically reproduced versions as released from the offices of the FCC and digitally processed to remain through time. Real, imaginary, or orthogonal. Time. This show has been captured for you, along with others, in the serial of time. Slightly edited by the authorities overhead, expunged of all possibly dangerous content, but you can sort of piece it together. Seemingly generic MP3s, untouched by the hands of Microsoft. However much they monitor the sites temporarily, between lawsuits, those MP3s are available. Not very expensive either. If you're working a good job, that is. And I assume you are. fine fettered Americans that you be? After all, in today's cultural milieu, we assume your patriotism will shine through. You will stand up, be counted, and do your duty in the war efforts. And in future wars and future efforts. (617) 552-4686 If you're a drug dealer, an international espionage turned around agent, I don't care what side you're on, where you came from, if you have valuable intelligence, we're buying. Proper intermediaries in place awaiting your call. If you're selling good contraband, you can work your way between the New World Order local offices of corporate structures. High quality stock equity available for trade. If your numbers are in line, and I hope they are for the sake of you, your children, loved ones, extramarital liaison, and even sexual associates. Go to newmetaphysics.com and studio475.com/newmetaphysics. Type in the security clearance encrypted code. Register with Microsoft in Redmond, and away you go, my friends. You won't be sorry, and it'll catch up with you later with special rewards and inducements for further free offers. You know how it works. Could get a possible board seat on a corporation. Proxy power and networking. It's all available for you. I'm obviously not talking to the riffraff, the unwashed or potato head thinkers. Media for the New World. In sync with the G7 offices of intermediation, post world trade. I don't have to go into the details. You know what I'm talking about.
Further questions, Your Honor.
Did I?
Actually, you did.
Thank you for this. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Fight Club.
Bob.
This was mine and Tyler's gift. Our gift to the world.
Look around, girl, look around. I see a lot of new faces. Shut up. Which means a lot of you have been breaking the first two rules of Fight Club. Man, I see in Fight Club the strongest and smartest men who've ever lived. I see all this potential, and I see it squandered. God damn it, an entire generation pumping gas, waiting tables, slaves with white collars. Advertising has us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy shit we don't need. We're the middle children of history, man. No purpose, a place. We have no great war. No great depression. Our great war is a spiritual war. Our great depression is our lives. We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars. But we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. And we're very, very pissed off. First rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about... Who are you?
Oh, my.
Yeah.
There's a sign on the front that says, Lou's Tap.
I'm fucking Lou.
Who the fuck are you?
Tyler Durden.
Who told you motherfuckers that you could use my place?
We have a deal worked out with Irvin.
Irvin? Irvin's at home with a broken collarbone. You don't own this place. I do. How much money is he getting for this?
There is no money.
Really?
Free to all.
Ain't that something?
It is, actually.
Look, stupid fuck. I want everybody out of here right now.
Hey. Should join our club.
Did you hear what I just said?
You and your friend.
You hear me now?
Oh. No, I didn't quite catch that, Lou.
Oh.
Still not getting it.
Okay, I got it.
Shit, I lost it.
Back! All of you! Everybody back!
Ah, Lou. Come on, man. We really like this place.
Oh,
that's right, Lou. Get it out.
Shut up. Oh, yeah. That's fucking funny.
Oh, Lou.
Fucking guys, I'm lowering him.
You don't know where I've been, Lou.
Oh, my God.
You don't know where I've been.
What is it?
Lou, please let us keep it low.
Lay it away.
Fucking use the basement. Cry.
I want your work, Lou. I want your work.
On my mother's own.
Oh,
Lou. You too, big guy. We'll see you next week.
Loyal men who have given their lives. During my past 18 months in hell, I've held my friends during their last gasping seconds before they succumbed to death. Do not judge us wrongly. Pleading for your praise. All we ask is for our great nation to support us, to help us end the war.
How are these other people to work with, Carol Kane and Mr. Kaufman? And
well, you can't really ask me that question using both of their names in the same sentence. Do you know what I mean? I mean, Andy is one story, and Carol's lovely to work with.
No further questions, Your Honor.
From there now?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a network here in Owensboro, a computer network, and we have computers set up in the service center where you're able to call into the network and get access to all the files, service instruments, and things like that. You'd probably be in close contact with someone here in Owensboro for parts.
Now, what happened at the service center? Why are you hiring a technician? Was there someone that quit, or?
Yeah, there was someone who left in May.
Okay.
And we've been sending technicians from Owensboro up there for like 3 weeks at a time.
Uh-huh.
Service center's been there since, I think 1988.
Okay. Where is it located in Needham?
It's, I don't know how to tell you. It's the Highland Avenue exit. It's actually right on 95. You get off, there's a Ford place there, a big Ford dealer, and you go around that and kind of head back towards the highway, and the building is right near 95.
Doesn't have an address?
Yeah, it's on Kearney, 47 Kearney Road.
Okay, I think I know where that is. Alright. Yeah, this is something I'd have to think about. Definitely. Thank you.
America is back, standing tall, looking to the 80s with courage. Confidence and hope.
One thing I don't think any of us better should be afraid in the coming election year of asking our friends and our Democratic friends, are you worse or better off than you were 4 years ago? Is America better off than it was 4 years ago? Billy Graham is an American.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin by... coming in 5 minutes.
It begins by building upon what you already know, by working in the ways that you already know to sit with the ancients in whatever meditative approach you take, working with Sirius, working with Lemuria, working with Atlantis, working with very well, working within those sacred places beyond your safe place. Therein lies the possibility, therein lies the potential. And out of that possibility and potential, the opportunity to engage, to develop rapport with the ancients. So as by the ways of your knowing already, to sit with them, to seek their counsel. For they offer the counsels, as you know, of mattering, to awaken what matters within you, or to give you direction and design to discover what truly matters to you at this juncture, at this point, at this turn in your wheel of living life. The counsel of heart and mind, to awaken your heart, to awaken your mind, to listen, to understand, to follow. The counsel of magic, to realign when you lose touch with the ways of the magician that you are. The counsel of service, to wherein lies your service, or what direction for you to serve, to give, yes, of what you have and what you do, but more importantly, more profoundly impactful, the
give of who you are beyond your doing, beyond your having, your being. The Council of Destiny. To understand more clearly your fate, your fortune, the expression of your abundance, another way of saying fortune. To understand what is inevitable, no matter how much you fight it or deny it, discount it or try to retreat from it. The irresistibly inevitable in your life. Your destiny. Those forces that determine the course of events for you by choice, by conscious expression. The Council of Remembering and Reuniting. On your journey now coming home. And what we call the Council of Voice. To find your voice, yes, but more particularly, to hear the music, to find the voice of soul, the voice of higher self, the voice of God, Goddess, all that is of the divine in you. The seek its gifts of worldly success, of magic itself, for it is the ancients who brought magic to your world. Hope and expectation. Manifest power, well-being, the power of belonging. All gifts the ancients can give you if you will but sit with them, if you will but allow yourself to receive the gifts of triumph, of empowered destiny, and of protection. It is part of their mystery. The championship and protection they offer. It begins, in order to stand, you must first sit and develop that rapport of sitting with the ancients. The next thing one does, and many of you have already done that, check that off the to-do list, you're already on your way. Second, work with making these gifts and counsels your gifts and counsels. Work with lifting your human grace to the grace of the ancients. Now, what we mean, or what this means as we say it, what counsel do you bring to those you love, to those you work with, to those you care about, and to those you encounter?
Determination, fighting for black people to gain the right to vote in Gut Bucket, Mississippi, within apartheid America. We shall never forget your smile. We shall never forget your love. We shall never forget your sacrifice. Yeah.
That's taking your time right there.
It's gonna go right into
that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Your life and works will constitute wind at our back. We shall never forget what you gave us and try to take it to a higher level in the 21st century. Martin, Medgar, Malcolm, hear us!
Woo!
Brother, you got to stand back here, man. I know that was too hot.
Oh, that was a little too hot?
That's too hot, huh, D? Because that brother, he was hugging that mic. I was trying to get him back, but it was a struggle going on.
I have no more questions, Your Honor.
You may step down, Doctor. Do you rest, Mr. McMillan?
The people rest.
Miss Levinsky?
Thank you. Your Honor, my client is a real pain in the ass. Excuse me. She is ill-mannered, and she is irritating, and she disturbs the peace. But we shouldn't confuse her behavior with her capacity to stand trial. Defense rests.
Miss Levinsky. Consider adjourning this hearing for 14 days if the defendant would consent to an independent psychiatric examination.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
It's the state counsel. But if that's the way she wants it, I'm going to call a short recess, collect my thoughts. You'll have my decision in a few moments. Please be seated.
Obviously, one of the most difficult days in the history of the city and the country. The tragedy that we're all undergoing right now is something that we've had nightmares about, probably thought wouldn't happen. My heart goes out to all of the innocent victims of this horrible and vicious act.
One particular time, I mentioned it to a gentleman that I was seeing, and we were in a nightclub, and it was the end of the night. My mum's daddy worked there, he wasn't a busy club, and he suggested doing a human cocktail. I'd had quite a bit to drink, so I was all for it.
Come back and talk more about it.
Interested in antiquity. The ancient Greeks were very interested in infinity, and there's Zeno's paradox, for example, which says that I can't leave the studio.
You can't leave it.
That's right.
Tell us, Zeno's is a fascinating paradox. It says...
Yes, what? Well, if I want to walk out the door,
right,
I have to walk half the distance first, and then the remaining half of the remaining distance, and then half of the remaining distance, and so on. It will take me infinitely many steps if I take half the distance every time.
I was laid out on the bar, a bucket of ice and various liqueurs and fruit slices were produced. And I particularly remember him pouring this liqueur all over my belly, and pieces of ice were used. And then rubbing the ice on my nipples and made them spring to action. He then went on to gently lick this liqueur off my body. The feeling of the food on my body and somebody eating it off you, it's brilliant. It's really, really good.
Which sucks. You said, you know, if you have a business in the East Coast, you're going to spend all your time here anyway. It's not as if he did it out of the goodness of his heart.
This guy doesn't get it.
Get a story. Name recognition I've got at Soros.
I'm not sure you and I have met yet. I'm Tom from...
Tom, Dave Hodgson. I already got three cards. Who wants them?
I love one. Thank you.
All right, guys. We'll let you guys.
Sure.
We're not replacing government. We, you know, to answer your question, 3 years from now, we want to be a place that facilitates.
Could stick it. I'm sure that you could do stuff with software where you like do similar things you do with audio, you know, like have like delay, have echo, have reverb, reverse reverb, decay, you know, flanging, you know, all the... Well, that's what we need to have, a lot of those explorations. And then the thing I've really been dreaming about for a long, long time is syncing the video to the audio, such that software will recognize that when such and such happens, it'll do some or any number of versions, any number of even an infinite versions of things to the video, and vice versa. Like if you hear a repeat of something, or if you hear something that's illogical, or a jump cut on the audio, it'll do any number of things to the video.
Preoccupied with the individual, what he may have done here and there and so forth. What is in his heart in terms of his focus? Who else is focusing on the criminal justice system, prison industrial complex, escalating incarceration? You know, you got black men are less than 7% of the American population, would make up more than 50% of the prison population. Now, it's either genetic, that's a white supremacist explanation, right? It's environmental, well, then we have to look at shattered families, underemployment, unemployment, decrepit education, inadequate health care, unavailable child care. And how do we hit those issues? Because we know if there was any other group, this is a national crisis. Well, it is a national crisis for me and for Al Sharpton and for other brothers and sisters of all colors who are concerned about this thing, you see.
Literally itemized the last few days of Lee Harvey Oswald's life. And the problem for the Warren Commission now would become, well, he had no opportunity to be with other people to plan something like this. So we now have to wonder seriously, perhaps for the first time, whether Lee Harvey Oswald even fired any shots.
embedded in rites of sacrifice and holy war and this sort of thing. And this is a field that just has to be mined now by serious scholars because the motives are so starkly presented in these more barbaric or primitive traditions that you can't deny them. You see what sacrifice really means. You see what war really means.
Interesting.
And whenever a priest was raising a knife to tear out the heart of a sacrificial victim, there was deep ritual meaning to the practitioners, but that meaning was so captured, it was so enwrapped by fear and anxiety.
Anxiety.
Yeah, there's a cultural anxiety.
The seeker seeks the light to be enlightened.
You have been listening to Chief Rowe and Joe Frank.
My family was quite wealthy. My father was really my stepfather, but I didn't know that until after he died when I was 14, and he was quite physically abusive to me. And we had taken a trip in his new Rolls Royce to our horse ranch, which was in Chatsworth, and I had just gotten over chicken pox, but I wasn't really over it, and I felt really sick, and I felt nauseous the whole trip all the way into L.A. to Chatsworth. And in the barn in Chatsworth, he found a pigeon that had been wounded and couldn't fly, and he took it in the car with us.
It's just obstructive, you know. You're already kind of obstructing by tagging along and being an extra person in the cab. So if you wanted to bring lights along, no way.
But this was really the first, you know, the beginning where you could see there was going to be some kind of tension between Tom and Kalel and their approaches.
Back, and I held the pigeon on my lap, and we stopped at a gas station outside of town, this desert town where I lived, and I really had to throw up at this point. And I picked up the pigeon off my lap, and it had left a big shit on my lap. And so I threw up all over the nice soft leather of this new Rolls Royce.
This showed me that, you know, in terms of filmmaking, how focused they were on what they were doing. Because Kalel was running around and kicking the garbage can, and we were just standing there. And he didn't, you know, he didn't take any notice of us.
My father, stepfather, started beating me up.
Go
those issues in the campaign that one hoped will surface. And whoever ends up being the candidate would have had to come to terms with these issues that Al Sharpton may raise if he decides to run.
Driving down the motorway once, on the way back from the pictures, I'd been to the cinema, and it was an extremely horny picture that had been showing, and put me really in the mood for having sex. So I thought, you know, why not right here now? So dived on the guy that was with me, and pulled his willy out, much to the astonishment and surprise of him, and started slurping and sucking away in his willy. But if there was any, I'm surprised there was no accidents that day, because there was lots of truck drivers going past. So if they'd have got a right eyeful, if they'd looked in at the car and seen this dark brunette head going hammer for nail away at this driver's lap. But that definitely added to the excitement of it. But just as a man was getting ready for it, I was stopping and saying, "Oh, is anybody looking?" But then carried on again, which added a lot to the excitement of the man, because he just didn't know when it was going to end.
Work on my shoulders. Now, so that was a brilliant metaphor. So it was a way for the unconscious to say to her, look, get what's happening here, what we refer to as organ language, language that references organs of the body. Understand that you're taking lumps here. That was brilliant. What was not brilliant, although from the point of view of the unconscious, it was smart, because of this, she couldn't do her job. She couldn't type. So the unconscious was protecting her from this kind of tyrant of a boss.
...132,000 Jews left in Germany proper, Austria 43,700, occupied eastern territories 420,000, general government 2,284,000, Bialystok 400,000, and Moravia 74,200, Estonia not a one.
Except when he opened this package, and it was a battery pack I'd left behind someplace, and it was mine and it wasn't his, and he kind of threw it at me.
I'm trying to make this successful when I feel like I have to fight at each juncture every single day on the same issues, man. Please call me as soon as you can on my cellular.
Huh? We've all been like working all night on the business plan and been leaving you messages. We're over at Khalil's place. Like, everybody's there practically.
It's a significant stake, and I understand he put money in, but if he doesn't believe in the business and that's why he hasn't left his job, right?
He is. Khalil, man. Look, dude, the entire team has been here basically the last 2 days working on this, and, you know, I don't know what the deal was, you know, when Julian came over, but I'm going to be pretty fucking disappointed if you don't get over here and help us out.
WZBC in America, in real time. We're not protected from the shrapnel. It's in line. Part of you is in line too. ...90.3 FM. We're down here in the lower radius of the swing. Slightest variation causes touch with intensity. as designed by all principles. It's quite a beautiful situation. One undergoing extreme flux right now. New metaphysics. Gary Geiserman, the major, presiding. GaryG4@Mac.com. Important message. GaryG4@Mac.com. Using digital technology, which is liable to go kaput at any nanosecond and not even be malfunctioning. That's where we are today. We persist in denying God. We will recreate 360 degrees to prove it. And look at the collage today. You're one knee-jerk away from a good ass-kicking. But you can still learn something from it. Probably that you don't want another one. Metaphysics.com. You can download phonograph records of taped New Metaphysics shows from yesteryear. They play at 78, but you can play them at 45 for effect. They come with genuine vinyl scratch sounds embedded for that true organic intimacy that is now electronically recreated digitally if you can't get the real thing. And of course, studio475.com/New Metaphysics. Electronically reproduced, digitally retranslated with digital subtraction for that warm and cozy feeling of a limited communications media we all love so much today. A 100 or more years after Thomas Alva Edison stole inventions from Tom, Dick, and a couple of Harrys, and ran it up the corporate capitalist flagpole, to become famous and have a movie made of his life. And of course, full equity share in Con Ed for his following generations. Because we needed corporations today. We weren't going to get a computer to take over anything. That's silly. And there are no real enemies. That's a pipe dream. Pipe. So what was going to do it for us? The grand glory of this civilization. You know, the one that began with writing? Where was all that power gonna go that we gave away? Well, we're well past the Fuhrer age. We blew that baby out the back end in 45 in the bunker. We got a George Bush Nazi now, and that's not quite holding the mold, if you will. Vice presidents. Probably the energetic upper middle management ambitious guy. Just below the vice president in charge of specific projects. That's the guy. That's the Ron Rico of our age today. Writing those white papers. With coaching from the senior secretarial pool, of course. Who were trying to have incest with daddy forever. And ever. That's the flagpole up your ass today. New York police style broomstick. Jack it in and snap it off. Millions and millions of shares, dividend checks to the portfolio. Holding company reverse issues. Well timed with fiscal tax structure for maximum estate appreciation. It's the smart sperm that gets the egg.
There's employees busting their ass for the company. It's just not fair.
He's a minority shareholder, and you guys can buy him out.
Thank you.
And among all who seek, there are those who become enlightened. And in the glow of that enlightenment, they hear the music, find maturity and justness, become the winning, the winners in living life, move beyond the delusions, let go of trying to be the exception, find their own complexity with celebration and triumph. They become exceptional, or begin that beyond the glow of enlightenment of being exceptional. A triune base, seeking, enlightened, becoming exceptional. A complexity that can lift to a higher octave, and out of a triune base, ancient one, who is an exceptional, enlightened seeker, the combination of seeker who is enlightened, who is becoming exceptional, the exceptional, enlightened seeker, ancient one. But for this complexity to yield this higher octave, for this complexity to blossom and allow that emergence of one who is more than an exceptionally enlightened seeker, but who is ancient one. That exceptional enlightened seeker must do more than change and grow. They must experience a crossing. For becoming ancient one is more than growing and changing. It is a crossing, so profound that it ripples to the edge of space-time, changing the truer self. In order to experience a crossing, ancient one must engage the archetypes of crossing, the lovers, the fool, triumph, death, empowerment, or temperance, judge, and the world, mastery and artistry. And of these, the most determined, the most solid, is death.
But at the same time, you can show this to somebody who's from that world, and, you know, he's a role model. So it has some very interesting, you know, issues that it brings up.
Business people see it and say he's a great negotiator. He's the one that came out on top and knew what he was doing.
In the end, Key was the only person who made money.
The archetype. Death. The exceptional enlightened seeker. Born of the adult. Who is the intricate complexity of child, adolescent, and grown human being. The exceptional enlightened seeker. First confronts death as warrior. Encounters death as adventurer, and then embraces death, conquering it, receiving the beauty and goodness and truth that the archetype death holds. Having confronted as warrior, encountered as adventurer, engaged and embraced death in conquest, Ancient One knows the state of continuous consciousness without interruption.
I have only one thing to say to the tax increasers. Go ahead, make my day.
Therefore, immortal, eternal, conscious, continuously, without interruption. Ancient One, continuous consciousness, knowing it is more than beginning and end.
I could switch it back the other way. Believe me, I'm a very versatile human being.
I'd like to take it.
You want to bolt it down? Why don't you just slide it in? Okay, now I want you to hear a sound in your head. And it's the sound that a deadbolt makes when it locks into place. And I want you to see yourself pull the key out. I don't know what this is. And give me the key.
Continuous consciousness.
Zero.
Knowing.
Six.
It never begins.
Two.
And it never ends.
Two. One.
Each and one.
Zero. Eight. Nine. Five.
This evolutionary process. From those consciousness units first filling the universe.
Two, five,
this matrix, this pattern, unfolded in the multidimensional worlds, in the triune worlds of the many suns of Sirius, and then of Orion, and then of the Pleiades. Ancient ones first emerged among the shimmer beings, among the dolphin people. For the dolphin people are renowned for the magic of presence. And in that magic of presence, they, the first of the ancient mariners of Sirius, first to achieve that evolution through complexity of ancient ones, making thus the maps for those of the fire beings, the feline Leonian, and those of the flight being the eagle people, and those of the light beings, the crystal people likewise, to become ancient ones of Sirius. And then among the subsequent 10 races, ultimately the 14 races, ancient ones emerged upon Sirius. Because of their triune relationship out of the vortex, so upon Orion, so upon the star systems or the planetary systems and the suns of the Pleiades.
America's best days lie ahead. And you know, you forgive me. I'm gonna do it just one more time. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Your son is in harmonic relationship with the stars of Sirius. Because of that harmonic relationship, because of the Relationships are frequencies to one another. A complexity exists between Sirius and the singular star of your solar system named the Sun. It's not a very original name, but it's effective. And out of relationship with your Sun, from the suns of Sirius to the planetary systems of your solar system, from the planetary systems of Sirius to the planetary systems of your solar system, most demonstrable upon Earth, this development, this complexity repeating itself over and over again, the evolution. With the first experiment, that of Lemuria, to develop a new kind of human being. So the Sirians brought and came among them, the engineers, the magicians, the healers, among them ancient ones, who taught the ways of the ancients, the magic of the ancients, to the most evolved among this new kind of human being. First, the Lemurian dreamers. To a certain extent, the elders among the dreamer companions, and a certain other elders among the various makers of magic. When the first experiment concluded and withdrew, leading and giving way to this second experiment, the three civilizations of Atlantis. So, the Shining Ones and Ancients of Sirius and of Lemuria. So, vertical knowing taught the ways of the Ancients to those most evolved, those that were the elders, often the keepers and the guardians of the crystal valleys, the keepers and the guardians of the crystal vortices, and a select, among others, the elders, often hermits, often crones, solitary magicians, being light, not needing a spotlight. Concomitant with this, alongside of this, with the first experiment, those cohabitors of your Earth, fairies, discovering, what's this? Oh, what's happening over here? So, the Sirians, the giants who walked the earth, taught not only those most evolved among humans, but also among fairy, though not human, of a parallel development, what would be the fairy kings and queens of Lemuria.
Barely knew each other, and a lot of them were friends, and you know, there were types of skills that Kal-El really needed to learn and other members of the team needed to learn in terms of leadership. And one of the most interesting exercises I thought they did was an exercise where somebody had to kind of stand out in front of the group and become the leader, and that exercise, and Kal-El talked about it a little, was very important for him because, you know, he went to Harvard. They all went to Harvard. You know, they were all really type A personalities that, you know, really wanted to be the first one in the class to get picked on when they raised their hand. But Kal-El, you know, had to, like, go in front of all his friends and be the leader to them. And that's a very hard thing to do. And it was interesting to watch him perform in these exercises and understand that he had to do that now. It wasn't playing anymore, just doing it with your friends. He had to really step in front and guide everyone. Yankee,
Hotel Foxtrot. Yankee Hotel Foxtrot. Group 1-0. Group 1-0.
You can stand empowered with the ancients, thus accessing their grandeur, aligning with their grandeur, working your magic and their magic together as one.
That the defendant will not permit an independent medical examination on her behalf. It's a critical flaw in her case. Nor has her behavior in this courtroom inspired the confidence of the bench. On the other hand, the court is not satisfied that the opinions expressed by Dr. Morrison are completely persuasive, although I do agree with him that Mrs. Draper does need some kind of help. But that's not my role here. My role is to determine whether the defendant is competent to stand trial, and that depends on two factors only. One, can she understand the charge against her? Two, can she assist in her own defense? Now, from what I have witnessed in this courtroom these past 2 days, the answer to both of those questions depends on two factors only.
Hey, Tommy, it's Kaleo.
We felt very positive about the company at this point. I mean, it was growing along. They had gotten millions of dollars. Everybody was very excited. They were trying to, you know, organize their hierarchy and, you know, really consider bringing in talent that was experienced, and you know, it looked like everything was going to be up.
Text. November, Lima, Sierra, Victor, November, uniform, hotel, November, Foxtrot, Yankee.
That's not my role here. My role is to determine whether the defendant is competent to stand trial, and that depends on two factors only.
Tango, uniform.
We'll await trial on the felony charge of manslaughter in the first degree. Trial shall take place 1 month from today. Court dismissed.
But Your Honor, the defendant has been charged with a particularly cold-blooded crime. The people request a high bail.
You've heard my decision, Mr. McMillan. Charge of manslaughter and is yes. The answer to both of those questions is yes. I therefore find the defendant competent to stand trial, release her on her own recognizance to await trial on the felony charge.
And this guy came over who had been gassing up his motorcycle. And he took my stepfather, my father, by the collar and slammed him up against the car and said, pick on someone your own size.
Repeat. Message. Message. Group 1-0. Group 1-0. Text. Text. November. Lima. Sierra. Victor. November.
Ever hit that kid again. And my stepfather, being a bully and only picking on people smaller than him, was smart enough to...
Never reach the door. In the limit, I'll reach the door as the number of steps goes to infinity.
So is that called, is there a certain kind of infinity that... That falls under that definition?
Yes, this is potential infinity.
Potential infinity.
Right.
So, as somebody once said, life is very fragile, like a raindrop on a lotus leaf. You know, and it can just go any moment.
I'm very sad, devastated. We've known he's been ill for a long time, and just very sad to hear that he's passed on. He's a lovely man. I love him dearly. I grew up with him, and I like to remember all the great times we had together in Liverpool and with the Beatles.
How many roads must a man walk down before you can call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? How many times must a cannonball fly before they're forever banned? For the answer, my friend, it's blowing in the wind. I mean, that answer is blowing in the wind. How many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? How many ears must one man have before he can hear? How many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? Ah, the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing. Exist before it is washed to the sea. How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? many times can a man turn his head? Pretending, pretending, pretending he just doesn't see. Oh, the answer, my friend, is blowing, blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing, blowing in the wind.
You get that? Uniform, Hotel, November, Foxtrot, Yankee. End of message. Thank you.